doing between two churches. He's planted us here in this Robertsville community in Oak Ridge to reach the lost and to push back darkness in the lives of individuals, in homes, in families, and in our community. Our devotion is to Jesus Christ, to let his light shine brightly in us and through us. He is our King, and he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And every king has a kingdom. God's kingdom has been a part of his design for the world through the whole Bible, not just the New Testament. I want to turn our attention this morning to Psalm 145 and see how David speaks about God's kingdom. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, rich in love. The Lord is good to all. He has compassion on all he has made. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, Lord, and you give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desires of those who fear him. He hears the cry and saves them. The Lord watches over all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. In verse 13, David says that God's kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, his dominion through all generations. I want to share just a few things about God's kingdom. First of all, God's kingdom is not stuck somewhere in the past. This psalm was written over 3,000 years ago, but it still speaks truth and power today. God's kingdom is not stuck in the past. Also, God's kingdom has no beginning and no ending. His is an everlasting kingdom. It was at work before you and I ever got here, and it will be at work long after we're gone. God's kingdom isn't determined by the rising and falling of human kingdoms. Nations will come and go. Leaders will rise and fall. But God's kingdom endures through all generations. God's kingdom is not far out into the future to be experienced in a future time and place. God's kingdom is more than an eternal, final state of things. I believe God's kingdom is here and now. God's kingdom is an experience and an encounter with the living God that happens right here, right now. God's kingdom is in this room, and God's kingdom is at work this morning. Jesus' first message was about the kingdom. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near, so repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is always good news. Not only did Jesus talk about it, but Paul talks about it. Paul, who shaped much of what the Christian church believes today, knew the kingdom was here. He says this, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit." Since God's kingdom is here and now, I believe there is an experience and an encounter with God that we can have on a daily basis that can have daily impact on us. David acknowledges some of spectacular truths about God in this Psalm 145 that can be experienced, not just known about, but experienced day in and day out. You see, I don't want to just know about God. I want to experience God. How can we experience God that David speaks about? Well, first of all, we can experience the graciousness and the compassion of God. That is who our God is. He is slow to anger. We're quick to anger. We're impatient. We're impatient with other people. We're impatient with ourselves. We're impatient with the people we care about the most. But God is slow to anger. God is rich in love. He is patient with us so that none would perish. We can experience God and encounter God in a way that David describes because God is good to all. He has compassion on all He has made. These truths characterize God's kingdom here and now. Today, we're experiencing God this way. In this room, we're experiencing God's grace, His compassion, His goodness, His patience, His richness, all of these things about God. But David gives some other things that are active in God's kingdom. So if God's kingdom is here and now, there has to be some things that are active that we can experience. Well, verse 13 says this. God is faithful in His promises. That is active. The promises of God that we encounter in the scriptures are real and they're active. They can be claimed. They can be stood on. We can talk to God about a promise that He has made. We can say to Him, God, this was not my idea. You say it in Your word. Your promise that You gave, You are faithful to. We can experience that aspect of God in an active way because God's kingdom is here and now. Verse 14 tells us another way that we can experience God in an active way. Verse 14 says that God holds and lifts us up when we're exhausted and bowed down. Today, you may be utterly exhausted. Maybe that's been your own doing. You're bowed down today, as it were. Maybe that's physical. Maybe it's emotional. Maybe it's spiritual. I want to tell you that God's kingdom is here and now means that we can experience an active part of God's kingdom. And God reaches out to hold us and lift us up when we're exhausted, to restore us, to rebuild us, to renew us. Verse 15 tells us more. It says that God is our provider of the basics of life. Today, you may not be sure of how both ends in your household are going to meet. They seem like worlds apart. You don't have enough money to finish out the month. You don't have enough food to feed your family. Psalm 145 tells us that God's kingdom is here and now, and God is the provider of the basics of life. And there are people that can testify to this, not only in our congregation, but in Freedom Hope's congregation, of how God can bring along provision when you never saw it coming. You never knew how you were going to get that thing paid for, but you cried out to God, and He worked in your life. He worked in your situation. That is an active part of God's kingdom that is here and now. Verse 16 tells us even more. That God knows the desires of our hearts and He is at work to make those desires come about. Now, I want to be clear about this. It really is that God knows the desires of our hearts when our hearts are really turned toward Him. God also knows it when our hearts are turned away from Him. And I can tell you that God is not going to make the desires of our hearts come about when we are turned away from God, walking away from God. But when we are turned toward Him and open to Him in our lives, God, You come and work in my life. I've got questions. I'm not sure how You're going to work in my life. But Lord, I'm turning to You. When we turn our hearts to Him, that's when God begins to respond to the desires of our hearts, because when we turn toward Him, our desires begin to align with his. And he can honor that, and he can bring those about. Verse 18 tells us more. It says that he is near to us when our hearts are true. We can draw near to God because God is near to us. We've already heard that today. The nearness of God to us is so special and powerful. When you rise early in the morning to get your day started, to know that the God of this whole universe that spoke this world and you and me into being, he made us as we are, is near to us. That is something that is active because God's kingdom has come near. God is near to us. Verse 19, he hears our cries when we humble ourselves before him. Your heart may be crying out to God today. A broken and a contrite heart, David says in another psalm, oh God, you will not despise. He knows when our hearts are broken. He knows when we cannot mend ourselves back together. And David tells us here that God hears our cries. That is something that is active because the kingdom is near. Verse 20, he watches over those who love him. As we share the kingdom of God together, which is what we're doing today with one another, as we share the kingdom beyond the four walls of this church, not trying to build the fortress, but to collapse the walls and get the kingdom out into the world around us. You see, I believe Jesus is already there. So let us go and join him there as we share the kingdom with our community. We can count on God making these things in Psalm 145 manifest in our midst, all because his kingdom is here and now. As we share the kingdom, we have a significant part to play, all of us, from the youngest of us to the oldest. We all have a part to play. David knew it was true then, and it's still true today. And what is that part that we play? Adam's already spoken about it. We tell of the glory of God's kingdom. We have a story to tell. We have an experience with God, an encounter with God to talk about, to bear witness to. Look at verses 10 and 11. All your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. Verse 11, they tell. And what do they tell of? Of the glory of your kingdom and speak of your might. God's kingdom is here and now. We don't just study the kingdom. I've got books on my shelves all about the kingdom, and it can be helpful. But we don't just study the kingdom. The kingdom is not something to be studied. We don't just stand around and nod yes to it. We don't just wait for it. And we ignore it at our own loss. No, the psalmist says we proclaim it. We tell it. We live it. We spread it. We have eyes to see it, we have ears to hear it, and we have mouths to tell it. And the best part is, the best part about the kingdom, that it is here and now, is that we get to experience it, that we get to encounter it. A little taste of heaven here and now. God's kingdom come here today in this place. May it be so more and more. And may it not just be so here in this place. May it be so in this community as we move out with Jesus into this world that he died to save. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you for this glorious day that you have made. And Lord, we rejoice in it. We're so thankful for how you have met us here today. This morning, when we rose early before the sun even rose, we prayed, Lord, that you would meet us here. Prayers were offered up that you would draw into this room the ones that you had chosen to gather in your name today. For we are the gathered ones who are gathered this day in this place to worship you, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your presence here, your faithfulness to us. Thank you, Lord, that you call us to remember the glorious past. But Lord, you call us to step forward with you. Thank you, Lord, that you go with us, that your kingdom is near, and that it goes with us. And as we go out into this world, we are bearing witness to your kingdom, O God. May it be manifest in this place. Lord, may the light of your presence shine even more brightly. May demonstrations of your power be evident. Lord, may you provide for our needs. May it be manifest in due time, Lord. May the praises of your people be lifted up in this place. And might we experience the protection that is ours, that comes from you, our good shepherd, Lord Jesus. And so this day, we thank you for this time. We thank you for the praise. We thank you for your word, Lord. May it edify us and build us up as your people. And may we be obedient. And may we respond to the word, Holy Spirit, that you have whispered into our hearts today. All for your glory, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.